The scripture today is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 to 23. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I become a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I may save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Blessings to you, Steve, as you share with us.
Good morning. I want to really key in on that idea. I've become all things to all people, that I might win some of them. If you could artistically, with colors, represent the variety of people with whom you've established relationships, what would that look like? So I have a couple ideas here. Your relationships might look like this, like all kinds of colors splashed, all different kinds of people, different textures. You're just connecting with everyone, becoming all things to all people. Or you might think of yourself a little more like this, just not as many colors. Everything that's here is uniform, just not the great variety of relationship in your life. So I just bring these up to have you think about your relationships and the relationships you're willing to open yourselves up to amidst all the people that are surrounding you in your life. I want to think about what Paul's experience has been and what we can learn from that. So let's think about Jesus. If Jesus would make this kind of a canvas, what would his look like? On the one hand, Jesus did stay amongst his own people. He didn't really stray from the Jewish people in that Palestine area. But he did have just a wide-ranging connection with different people. He had Nicodemus, the religious leader. He had the Samaritan woman that he met by the well. He had that wild guy who was filled with all kinds of demons out in the graveyard. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Lazarus, just an ordinary guy who happened to be raised from the dead as a friend of Jesus, but all different kinds of relationships. And then not only that, but he sent his disciples out to a greater extent develop relationships where the kingdom could be offered to any and all kinds of people. So much so that John has this vision of what it's all going to end up looking like. And one more piece of art here. This is Lily Munsterman, if you remember, she made this. But it represents Revelation 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands, being grateful for their salvation. So that's the way of Jesus. And so our theme for today is, if we think about what Paul wrote and Paul's example, this is the theme I get out of today's scripture. Your influence through connecting with all sorts of people can draw them towards hope in Jesus. And I just want to, first of all, lay out these two big, broad stroke, understandings of God and God's ways. One is, if we're created in the image of God, if we have God's heart, then we will have a love for all variety of people, and we'll want God's best for them. And secondly, God's heart is to win people to himself. And we'll talk about that word win later. But God's heart is to win people back unto himself. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we would be called children of God. That's the heart of God, to win us back, to gain us back as his very own. And Paul, in this particular chapter, really shows the heart of God in him as he gives his own testimony. In this chapter, and maybe some previous chapters, Paul's defending his ministry amongst the Corinthian people here. And before I get to Paul's testimony that we read, my own testimony as a pastor, as a ministering person, is like, I've chosen, in one sense, pastoring as a career, a way to earn income. And also a choice, like we all make choices, for our careers, that something I would feel like it fits me, or I find it rewarding. And so I've made those choices, along with the sense that feeling God's call upon my life and the affirmation of others. But for Paul, it's all about this commission that's just pressing upon him. He says, I don't want any wages from you. I'm not doing this because I find it rewarding, although maybe he does, but it is all about, I just feel this pressing upon my life, this commission to share this message about the good news of Jesus and his kingdom. And woe to me if I don't share this with other people. So just an amazing intensity that Paul has. And maybe that's the kick in the pants for me and for all of us that Merle was talking about earlier. Just this servant's heart. I've become a servant to win as many as possible. So we've said today that Jesus identified with all kinds of people so that some would willingly receive him and the kingdom that he was offering. And Paul identified with all kinds of people so that some would willingly receive Jesus and the kingdom that he was offering. Just to give you a sense of all the people that Paul related to. I'm going to just read, this is from the last chapter of Romans when he gives all of his greetings to people. And this is the commentary about this section of Romans 16. Paul's personal greetings went to Romans and Greeks, Jews, Gentiles, men, women, prisoners, prominent people. The church's base crossed all cultural, social, and economic lines. So this might sound a little tedious, but I want you to get a sense of all the different people that Paul related to. And if we lived in those days, we'd be maybe amazed, like, man, I can't believe Paul has connections to all those different people. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first Christian convert in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who works hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junia. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian. Greet the household of Narcissus. Greet Trophina and Tryphosa. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asynecritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters there. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, Olympus, and all the people who are with them. So, just get a sense. My way of approaching scriptures like this is just pretend you know all these names, and whether you say them right or not, you know, just zip through it. But it made me think, like, if there was a birthday party for me or an anniversary party, I would love it if people there said, what an interesting mix of people that are related to him or to them, you know? I think we've been thinking about Marilyn and her life and her passing, and I think her funeral, that probably was comments that were made. What an amazing mixture of people who are here that Marilyn opened her heart to and became the representation of Jesus for, you know, like, how did she relate to all these people? So thinking, you know, we've been thinking about Paul, but what does this mean for us? Like, we're not apostles going and establishing churches and so forth. But what does this say to us about our burden for other people's welfare, people that we might not know very well yet? What does it mean for us to connect with a wide range of people? What does this say to us about winning people towards the hope of Jesus? And what does that word win mean? We all have a wide variety of people that we intersect with on a regular basis and to varying degrees of depth. But do we see them? Do we take notice of people who are right before us? Our natural instinct is to focus our attention on a smaller group of people with whom we know well or we feel comfortable. Like, to illustrate, after church, we might immediately go to the people we know best or that, you know, our friends dearly. Not think about the guest who might be here or someone in the congregation that we don't know as well. But is our heart towards a greater variety of people wherever we're feeling led? So our influence, I'll say this again, in connecting with all sorts of people allows them to experience, to see the grace and the truth of Jesus that hopefully is exuding from us, and drawing them towards the hope of Jesus for themselves. So the lesson from this text isn't just, this is important, but if we have the love of God in us, we will see and we will relate to a wide expanse of people around us. We'll have that heart towards others. But also somehow there's a commission in here about winning them. And so I want to talk about that word win, because for me, as I read it and as I've been studying, I think that word might have mixed reaction to win somebody. What does that mean? It might feel contrived or not very personal. I've never really been involved in sales, but it seems to make sense to me that a salesperson really believes that that product is going to help those who purchase it, you know, and acts out of that feeling like it'll benefit. But my experience too is that, in trying to make the sale, that win or that victory or that getting that signature on the bottom line might overshadow or trump the genuine concern and hope you have for that person. You know, I wonder about that, you know, in making a sale. And the same could be true with our Christian faith. Like, to get that person to pray that prayer, or to ask Jesus in their hearts, is there a mixed, motivation there of this will make me feel good or this is what I'm supposed to be doing? Is it genuinely, I want them to experience the hope that I found? So what are we doing to win or to gain another? Because it is a really important, powerful word, like scriptures that talk about, again, God gaining us or winning us back, being reconciled, really shows the powerful heart of God. In Matthew 18, Jesus says, if somebody sins against you, or if somebody, you're in conflict with someone, especially in the church, go and talk to that person. And if that person receives you back, you've gained a brother or sister. Maybe the church has gained someone back, or God has gained someone back even. But that's a really genuine experience to feel like I've gained back a brother or sister. It's not in any way feeling like impersonal or some kind of sale or transaction was made, but there's something deeper about that, gaining that person back. So likewise, through genuine relationships that we develop, because we have the love of God in us, we can have this influence towards others, towards the hope of Jesus, and a winsome influence. I always have to look up the word winsome, but winsome means to be attractive or appealing. As we get in deeper with people and they see us and they relate to us and we interact back and forth, and as they somehow see the goodness, the truth, the love of Jesus in us, there's something, powerful that might, allow them to be won or to be gained into the kingdom of God, or in that direction anyway. So for Paul, he says, when I was amongst the Jews, I became a Jew to win them. To those who are not under the law, I became like one who is not under the law. To those who are weak, I became one who is weak, or identified with them. So he identified with people wherever they were at. He made this attempt to make a genuine personal connection. And you could hear that even in that list of people. There were some genuine deep connections that he made. Just, you could hear it in, just in that list. This is how, Eugene Peterson paraphrases what Paul said here. And listen for Paul's heart to identify with people, all kinds of people. I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to receive a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and I tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempt to lead those I meet into a God-saving life. I did this all because of this good news. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it, right in the middle of it, this new life that's emerging. So as we think about this, and I just want to pause for a minute because I want to say this in the beginning. This is the kind of message where there might be questions. What does it mean to win someone? Or, you know, I'm going to open it up to some reflection or questions when I finish in a few minutes. But, so you can be thinking about that. But what's been stirring in your mind? We really need some servant skills if we're going to try to identify with a whole variety of people. Being a great listener to begin to understand more and more who they are. And to be respecting of where they're at in life, which means letting go sometimes of how I do certain things. An illustration I read was, if you go into somebody's house and you notice right away there's a shelf with shoes on, and your hosts take their shoes off and walk in, and there you are at the door with your shoes still on. You're probably going to say, to be respectful, I think I'll take my shoes off and put them aside here. Hopefully you wouldn't say, in my house, I don't take off my shoes, and I'm not going to take off my shoes here. You know, like, we can carry that kind of attitude in other ways, in deeper ways, as we relate to people. April and I were talking about this, and she has a newer coworker at the office, and just, it made her think, I bet this guy would like it if we had a group outing to a trivia night at a local restaurant. Like, as I've gotten to know him, he'd probably appreciate that. And that would be a good way to meet the rest of us. It's that kind of, listening, trying to identify and respect and draw them into relationship. And then just doing acts and just relating to people that bless them. In all kinds of ways. So as we get to know people's hopes and fears, as we get to that deeper level, as they get to know our hopes and fears, then our lives can really begin to impact each other, and our faith can begin to have an impact on them. So it's in these kind of relationships that Jesus was able to say, follow me, or repent and believe, or I have living water for you to drink that I'm offering you. Be healed. Take up your cross and follow me. Listen to my voice. It's a good voice. Have abundant life in me. Feed my sheep. I have bread that will satisfy all the way to eternal life. You know, in ways that these things could be heard because of the depth of relationship. So for us, we can begin to share actions and words that give life to people, that offer peace to them in the midst of their chaos or the chaos of this world, that shines light in the midst of darkness where they might be groping around. So just to conclude this, we're part of God's effort to redeem this world. And God chose to do that by identifying with this world, by coming and walking alongside of us. Like, that's God's way of doing it. And so God's kingdom's going to grow through relationships, through incarnation, through taking on flesh and taking your body and walking alongside other people and being there for them. That's the very nature of the good news. It's how the kingdom spreads, but it's the very essence of the kingdom to be in good relationship with God and with one another, and to work towards restoring that. So I just challenge you to think about that. Who's right there in your midst? Maybe there's something keeping you from, really making connection, but how might your life begin to bless others as you develop those broader, wider relationships? Donovan, do you still have the mic? Maybe you could be ready. Just a couple of questions. They're like, how do you understand this idea of winning people? What does that do for you? That even that terminology. What keeps you from connecting with people in a wider way? Or how have you been enriched by relating to people in a wider way? I don't know if anybody has any, thoughts or reactions or like, questions about all this.
I saw a short video yesterday, and I think this relates. A girl was being confronted by three teenagers, all larger than she, and they took her purse and tossed it around, and she had no opportunity to get it back. So she left the group, went down the street, bought a bouquet of flowers and brought it back and gave it to the girl in this little group. And the girl then got the purse and gave it to her. Mm. Now, we're not all always going to have to give a gift, but it showed her understanding that sometimes we just have to turn the other cheek and be kind. And she didn't ask for anything from them. She just presented the gift and was ready to leave. And in the doing so, she made friends.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but I think there are times when I remember my children complaining that somebody was picking on them. I said, okay, we're going to make a batch of cookies. Hmm. And you take the cookies and see what.
When I was growing up, I didn't realize how fortunate I was to have parents who were so hospitable to so many different people. And I was so blessed because my parents would host people in our home for like a semester or a year. And so we had people from all over the world living with us. And I remember when I was 16, I got to meet a woman from Armenia. And this was before like cell phones, obviously. And so I would just sit with her in her bedroom and just listen to her talk about her country and becoming a refugee and what it was like to live in Armenia and why she wanted to leave Armenia. And I was just so amazed by her stories. And so for me, I think the best thing to do, for me, what's brought me so much joy is just listening to people's stories and asking them questions and, you know, just discovering their life and then seeing what we have in common. And then that bonds us together. So yeah, I feel like my parents have been really good role models in that. And now they have a lot of people in their home who are recent immigrants. And I got to meet this wonderful woman from Iraq and hear her story. And so it's just like listening to someone's story is so powerful and it's so meaningful and it blesses both parties. And I think that's kind of what Paul was saying, like not pushing my culture on them, but just listening to their culture and then becoming friends, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. So anyway. Mm-hmm. And then I also wanted to say that this is Karen, who is helping us today with the music, and she's a flute student of mine, and it's been a pleasure to get to know her also.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thanks for your music, Karen. Appreciate it.
Sister, are you saying that we can all do this? Even if we don't all have a winsome personality, there is a way that God is calling each one of us?
Yes. Thank you. And I was thinking the same, like, we can't all maybe be as open as Trisha's parents or Ransom Marilyn, but, you know, that we can make that next step of connection, you know.
Encouraging, I think.
Yeah. Just like not everyone is an evangelist in the church, but we all are somehow called to somehow have good news to share with others. Yeah. All right, thank you. Let's just continue to try to walk this walk. All things to all people.